Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Well, it's time for confession time again. When I was a bachelor, I used to eat a meal on a plate, put the plate in the sink. Next meal on a plate, put the plate in the sink. All the plates, all the saucers made it to the sink, the bowls, the cups even. And then I'd work on the paper plates and bowls and napkins and anything else I could find until there was nothing left except to eat food right off the table, and then I'd wash dishes. It might be a month or two before I get to, yeah, I know, it's terrible. Remember, I was a bachelor. Anybody else do that when you were younger? Yeah, no, see, I'm the only one, sorry. And I always, my wife, when we were first married, would say, when are you ever going to learn that it's just as easy to clean one dish? It's easier to clean one dish than it is to start on an entire sink full of dirty dishes with things growing on them. So it was a lesson I had to learn, and I am in charge of dishes at home, but I do have a dishwashing machine that helps. My father did the same thing with me when I was younger. Marty, when are you going to learn that it's just as easy to keep the top half of the gas tank full as it is the bottom half? And even driving to church today, I realized I'm like a quarter of a tank. So I still haven't learned that lesson. Our lives are filled with those kinds of lessons, aren't they? That, you know, we don't learn everything we need. Sometimes we let some of the information go in one ear and out the other. We put things off until tomorrow that we think we can get done, and then we never get to it. So we have these lessons in life that we wish we could learn, and we ask ourselves, will we ever learn these lessons? And there's a lesson that we need to learn from Scripture this morning that is a critical lesson. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to begin the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, because this is where Jesus is talking to us about how we're supposed to live as the church, how important it is that our behavior is just right. And we're going to be challenged this morning in Matthew 18 by some of the things that Jesus has to tell us. How are we supposed to act as men and women in the church? How are we supposed to act towards one another? How are we supposed to act towards the world around us? And it's important that we learn this lesson. Let's have a quick prayer as we jump in. Father God, we just pray that you will teach us, you'll show us how to live. You'll challenge us with these words. And though sometimes they are harsh sounding and a little scary, we just pray that you will wake us up, help us move forward, and be the kind of people you want us to be. People who look and act just like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to be in chapter 18 of the Gospel of Matthew. We all think of mercy as being kind to someone, or maybe showing an attitude of care towards people who are in trouble. That's kind of how we approach our understanding of mercy. But mercy really is showing kindness and care and compassion to people who may not really deserve it, at least by our worldly standards. We look at them and we think, this person is really not a very good person. I want justice. I want them to be punished maybe for what they've done to me. We look at justice and forget that mercy is kind of the suspension of justice. Instead of getting our way, we forgive. And we're going to be learning about that. It's important for us to understand mercy. The story is told of Mary Johnson, who lost her 20-year-old son to gang violence, 1993, up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. A man by the name of Hoshea Israel killed her son. He was only 16, the murderer, when he killed Mary Johnson's 20-year-old son. And he went to prison for that murder. And the entire time that he was in prison, Mary Johnson would come and visit Hoshea to take care of him, to look after his spiritual well-being, if you will, to rehabilitate him, during 18 years of imprisonment. And at the age of 34, when Hosea was released from prison, Mary Johnson bought the house next door to her and moved the ex-con into that house to live near her. And so he was able to be taken care of, if you will, by this mother figure, someone who had lost her son by his hand. That's mercy. She could have said, no, I demand that he pay back what he has taken from me. Instead, she said, no, I'm going to invest my life in her, in him, and help him to grow. That's a very difficult lesson for us to learn. We want people to get paid back. And instead, mercy says we're going to care for them and forgive them. So we're in Matthew 18, verse 21, and it tells us that Peter came to see Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he sins against me? Up to seven times? Now, that's a standard question that could be asked because seven was the number of completeness. Seven was the number of perfection. So to say, do I forgive somebody seven times? It's like saying, shall I be complete in my forgiveness of this person? And Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And some translations say seven times seven. So whether it's 77 times or 490 times, Jesus is saying your forgiveness should be inexhaustible. It should never go away. By the time we've forgiven 70 times or 77 times or 490 times, we should be well-versed at learning how to instantly forgive. And that's what Jesus is trying to let us know. And so he launches into a parable, as he many times does, about what the kingdom is like. And so he says this, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Now 10,000 talents, some translations just put it 10,000 bags of gold, but it means it's an astronomical figure. One talent equals 20 years worth of salary. So one talent equals 20 years, 10,000 talents, that's 200,000 years of income. Who gets into debt over 200,000 years worth of income? Now we might say the government. This is not government. We're talking personal debt. Personal debt. Who gets into that kind of, if we looked at it by this year's financial reckoning, that's over $10 trillion. His personal debt to the king was that much. And so he goes before the king. He's, verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. That was not unheard of. That was a normal practice. If you can't pay the debt, then you're going to have to be incarcerated and work hard labor until you can pay it back. We see that in feudal England, where people would be thrown into a debtor's prison. At the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, debtor's prisons were still something in Europe. We had it even in colonial America. We called it indentured servitude. If you owed money to the landlord and you couldn't pay, you would commit your life to work for the landlord for free for the rest of your life to pay off the debt. That's not fun, to be enslaved by your debt. And Jesus is using this parable to teach us a lesson. And so, verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before the master. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Most of us have had a situation where maybe we know of people who've had debt restructured. If you can pay this much per week or this much per month, we'll work with you until your debt is repaid. $10 trillion by today's money, 200,000 years of working was owed to the master, and he forgave the debt. What an enormous debt that was canceled. Now, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes that this parable is not about money. We're using money as an example, but this is not about money. But it is about having a debt that's so large it cannot be repaid. And then what happens after that? Well, then it says here that the servant, well, let me back up and say this. In America, think of our personal debt. Again, we're not talking governmental debt. This is not a political speech. This is just how much money do we owe as people? And right now in the United States, according to data that I just looked up 5 days ago on the internet, I don't do all my research on the internet, but this was from a money magazine and things like that. So the point is, $52,940 is the average household debt. Some of us have no debt. Some of us have a lot more than that. But $52,940 is the average household debt. There are 132 million households in the United States. That's $7 trillion in personal debt that we owe. The man in Scripture owed $10 trillion, according to today's money. He owes more than the entire population of the United States owes in personal debt. Again, not about money. Jesus is using an astronomical figure to talk to us about how indebted we are. Again, not financially, because we go a little further in there. So he goes out, verse 28, when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii is one day's wages. He owed him 100 denarii, so about 3 months' worth of wages was owed to him. And he grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, same words he used with the king, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But the man who'd been forgiven a lot, being asked to forgive a little, verse 30, he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant back in. "You wicked servant," he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have just had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. Not only now does this man have to pay back his enormous 200,000 years worth of debt, but he's being tortured. He had shown him immense, extreme mercy, but when it came his turn to show mercy, he showed none at all. Now, this is not, as I said, about money, even though Jesus used money. He wanted us to understand how incredibly indebted this man really was. So then Jesus drops this bombshell in his parable, verse 35. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now all of a sudden it isn't about money at all. It's about forgiveness. How are we going to forgive? Are we going to forgive like the king who forgave so much? Or are we going to be like the man who was forgiven but would not forgive? Even a little. And the answer is, Jesus says, my heavenly Father is going to treat you the same way you treat others unless you learn to forgive from your heart. Just last week, I was talking to an apprentice group here at Heritage, and I talked about parables, and some of the folks in the apprentice group kind of rolled their eyes because they either heard me talk about this before or they didn't believe me. But this is the thing I want us to understand. A parable is not just some fun little story. The actual Greek word for parable comes from two words, para, which means to throw, and the other, or cast, the other is balo, which means down at your feet or close beside. And so Jesus takes these wonderful stories and throws them at our feet. He actually kind of lobs them, because we also get the word parabola from an arc. Here's Jesus throwing us this story. It lands at our feet. Let's say it lands in a puddle of water, and when the puddle is broken and it splashes up in a perfect parabola, arc, and we get covered with the story. That's how Jesus does his parables. Here we go. See what you think of this one. Whoosh, splash, we're covered. And then we go, oh, that's what he means. So now you hear that's what a parable means, and you'll probably hear me teach about that before. But here's the drenching part. The way that you're treating someone else, that's the way my Father in heaven is going to treat you. Unless you learn to forgive from your heart. Now, most of us should take that home and let that parable kind of explode at our feet sometime today or during the week. When the forgiveness that we need to express to others all of a sudden becomes very clear. Right now, it may not make a lot of sense, but sometime later it is. I need to forgive. Oh, that's what Jesus was talking about when he gave us this parable in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I have to forgive with my whole heart. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. We are so indebted to God because of sin in our lives, because of where we've come from and what we've gone through. Jesus forgave it all. He was merciful to us. He could have punished us for all eternity. But we've come to him and said, I can't do this. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. And he has not withheld it. He has said, don't worry. You've confessed your sins. I'm faithful. I'm just. I will forgive your sins. I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's what he's asking from us. It's not about forgiving grudgingly. It's about forgiving with our whole heart from deep within. And again, it's not about money. It's about people who've hurt us. But Marty, you know, this was a friend of mine, and he betrayed me. Well, we need to forgive. But you don't understand. My relationship is broken. It might be a marriage. He or she did this thing to me, and I can't forgive. You have to forgive. You have to show mercy. And how's it done? Well, I'd love to be able to say that 1, 2, 3 steps and you do these things, everything's done. No, the answer is you just do it. You just forgive. And you think about what it is that Jesus did for you, and then you simply try to emulate that. Forgive, even when it's almost impossible to do so. And the question, I guess, this morning is, will we ever learn this lesson? Because it is so difficult. Stephen Curtis Chapman, his wife Mary Beth, adopted 3 beautiful little preschool daughters from China many years back. Maria, the youngest of those 3 Chinese daughters, was only 5 years old in 2008 when she was accidentally struck by an SUV driving into the family driveway, driven by her older brother Will, and she was killed. Now, that family could have simply disintegrated. Mary Beth and Stephen could have just said, Will, we don't want to have anything to do with you. You killed our youngest daughter, your little sister. But instead, they embraced him, and they forgave him. And the family persisted, and the love of God was shown. Now, many years later, Will is still forgiven. It was an accident. The family loves him. They've added 2 beautiful daughters-in-law to the family. A son-in-law has been added. They've had 5 grandchildren added to the family. And everything is back to normal, missing a daughter. But love is still there. Now, even in families, there can be a desperate hurt and desperate anger and frustration. But this family chose to love and forgive. Now, some of you will say, well, Marty, that's what happens in families. They're better at this. But I want you to remember Mary Johnson and Hoshea Israel, the man who killed her son, and how she ministered to him through 18 years of prison and then bought the house next door and moved him in so that they could live almost as a family. He calls her mom and she calls him son. They weren't a family, but forgiveness allowed them to be a family. And that's what we're supposed to be to one another. This lesson really is to one another, within the church, because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. So he's really addressing what the church is like. But I would maintain that Jesus expects us to be that way to the world as well. We should forgive more, at least as much, than we have been forgiven, because Jesus forgave us everything. We should never refuse to show mercy, and we should never fail to show mercy. We should never fail to forgive. It's something that Jesus just wants to be a part of who we are on the inside, forgiving people who show mercy. The entire 18th chapter of Matthew is Jesus talking to us about how to treat one another in the church, and verses 21 through 35 specifically talk to us about mercy and forgiveness. Justice requires payback. Mercy throws justice out the window and says, I will forgive. I will love. I will show mercy. That's our challenge this morning and in the days to come, to learn to show unwavering mercy and to offer instant, unconditional forgiveness, because that's what Jesus did to us. Let's pray together. Jesus, we want to learn to forgive. We want to learn to be just like you. To forgive when it's most difficult to do so. To show mercy when what we really want is payback. We want fairness and equity and justice. But no, we need to learn to be merciful and forgiving to one another. And so also to the world around us. Help us to live out your life for the world to see, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us and have a blessed day.